A few years ago, Kate and I went on holiday to a Greek island, and we had this crazy idea that we were going to climb a mountain. And the highest mountain on the island was about 560 metres above sea level, and we were quite close to sea level where we were staying. So we got up early in the morning and we went on a mission to climb this mountain. And to start off with, it was fine. It was very hot at 8 in the morning already, but the first part of the climb was kind of in the shadow. And we climbed and we got up, and the second half of the climb was in the sun beating down on our backs. And we suddenly realised that we hadn't brought enough water. As we climbed and as we were thirsty and we drank, we realised, hey, we haven't got enough water. But I believe that at the top of this, there was clearly a military base at the top, but I believed at the top there was a town very nearby. So we carried on and we went up. And when we got to the top, lovely views, amazing, but we were pretty much out of water. And we became quickly aware that there was a military base, but there was no town. And there was a roadway to walk down. So we started to walk down this roadway. We ran out of water. We were concerned because the temperature was 35 degrees. It was hot. We were out of water. We were tired. We were hungry. And we, as we walked down this road, it wasn't a very busy road. As cars passed, we put up our thumbs, hoping and praying that someone would pick us up. But no one did. So we kept walking, and the walk seemed to take forever. And we were worried. And as we'd walked quite a long way, eventually we started to see a few houses, and then entered a village square and found a shop and had a drink. And it was a very refreshing drink. And it's rare that we get to the stage where we are that thirsty. That's a rare occasion in our lives. And we become aware of our need of water in times like that. We need water. We need it to survive. It is essential for life. It's essential for all life. But many people, day by day, live with mild to severe dehydration. One report in America suggests that 75% of adults suffer chronic dehydration. That is crazy. That is insane figures. But that 75%, most of them don't even realise it is possible to be totally unaware that you are dehydrated and that life could be better for you if you were to recognise and respond to your thirst. And if that's true of physical thirst, it is also true of spiritual thirst. It's possible to be totally unaware of your desperate need for Jesus in your life. It's totally possible to live your life, but you're not living life in all its fullness, and life would be better if you walked it with Jesus. But it's also possible to live your life as a Christian and not be filled with the Holy Spirit, with that living water. And this morning we're going to look at a brief passage and look at how God can satisfy that deep thirst in our hearts, and how when that deep thirst is satisfied, it will impact the world around us. We're going to read from John chapter 7, and we're just going to read three verses this morning, so a nice short reading. So if you've got a Bible, you might want to turn there. I've called this morning's sermon, Are You Thirsty? And that's a question that I want you to think about as we read and as we go through this morning. Okay, so John 7:37, it says, on the last day of the feast, the great day, Jesus stood up and cried out, if anyone is thirsty, let him come to me and drink. Whoever believes in me, as scripture has said, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water. Now this he said about the Spirit, whom those who believed in him were to receive. For as yet the Spirit had not been given, because Jesus was not yet glorified. Let's pray. Father, we do thank you for your word. Thank you that it speaks to us. We want to pray this morning, Lord, would you speak to our hearts? Lord, would you open our hearts to what you want to say to us? Lord, would you challenge us where we need to be challenged? Would you encourage us and strengthen us where we need that? Lord, we pray, would your kingdom come as we hear your word and we respond to it in our hearts? We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. We're going to walk through this passage this morning and just look at what it shows us. So the passage starts with the words on the last day of the feast. So let's look at the feast. What was the feast? What was it about? And we have to go back a little bit further to the beginning of chapter 7 verse 2, and it tells us that this was the Feast of Booths, which is also called the Feast of Tabernacles and the Feast of Ingathering. So if you read through your Old Testament, you might be a bit confused. It seems like there's so many feasts, but this was like one feast that commemorated a number of things. Now, we're not going to look at all of those things. They're quite diverse, but primarily this feast was about remembering God's provision and guidance through the wilderness. And for 7 days in this feast, those who celebrated would live in temporary shelters. They would build kind of temporary shelters on the side of their houses, or in Jerusalem they would go and construct these temporary shelters and live in them for 7 days. And Jews do that even now. They'll build shelters on the side of their houses to live in for 7 days during the Feast of Booths. And this was about remembering Israel's wanderings through the wilderness. They were nomads, basically, as they walked through the wilderness. The festival was at the end of the harvest, so they thanked God for his provision. And this was particularly focused on the rains. In the Middle East, it is essential to get the early rain and the later rain. And this would enable there to be a good crop and a good harvest. There was rain in between, but those two rains were really important. And in Deuteronomy 11:14, the people promised, if they keep God's commandments, he will give the rain for your land in its season, the early rain and the later rain, that you may gather in your grain and your wine and your oil. So as part of the celebrations, on the first day, a large golden flagon, or like a golden sort of jug, would be filled with water from the pool of Siloam, and it was carried in procession to the temple. Then every day some of this water would be poured into silver bowls, and they would be offered, water and wine would be offered to God. And this was a thing about saying thank you to God for his provision. But it also looked back again to that time in the wilderness where Moses hit the rock and water came out, and God provided water for his people. And it's on the last day of this feast, so after the water had been poured out every day, probably the last and final bit of the water had been poured out that morning, and Jesus stands up and says, if anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink. And there's this invitation to anyone who thirsts. Earlier in John's Gospel, in chapter 4, Jesus speaks to a Samaritan woman at the well. And Jesus surprises her because he crosses both cultural and historical boundaries when he asks her for a drink. And when she asks why he's done this, Jesus says in verse 10, he says this, he says, if you knew the gift of God and who it is that is saying to you, give me a drink, you would have asked him, and he would have given you living water. Now, the Samaritan woman is a bit confused. This living water, you haven't even got a bucket. How can you give me water? You've asked me for a drink. And Jesus answers in verse 13. He says, everyone who drinks of this water will be thirsty again. But whoever drinks of the water that I will give him will never be thirsty again. The water that I will give him will become in him a spring of water welling up to eternal life. Jesus invites any who are thirsty to come. In our passage, we see that he says, if anyone is thirsty, come to me. And this invitation is to anyone who is thirsty. It's not about the past, but it's about the present. Are you thirsty? Are you thirsty for the things of God? Do you want to know him more? If that's you, no matter what you've done in the past, even the recent past, you can respond to Jesus' invitation. Are you thirsty? Come to Jesus. You don't have to have your life sorted out. It's just a desire to come to God and a desire for him to change you. As Jesus stood up before the crowd and declared, "If anyone thirsts, let him come to me." This was an invitation that was wide. It was to the whole crowd, an open invitation. And this morning, Jesus invites you to come to him. You don't have to have your life sorted out. You can come to him. So what does it mean to come to Jesus? What does it mean to come to him? Well, the thing that's highlighted in this passage is believe in me. And verse 38 says, "Whoever believes in me, as scripture has said, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water." To come to Jesus involves two things: repentance and faith. And repentance is a recognition of sin, that you've not lived your life according to the way that God would have you. That actually your sin and your own self-centeredness and the things that you do that are against God's law is a problem. It creates a barrier between yourself and God. It means that you face the wrath of God. It's a recognition that actually I've done wrong and I need forgiveness for it. But it's also about submission, a desire to live differently and giving God control over your life. So recognizing, God, I've done wrong, and God, I want to live differently, and I'll give you control, and I'll ask you to help me to do that. That's what repentance is about. And if you want to drink of the streams of living water and enjoy eternal life, you cannot bypass repentance. Repentance is the doorway to salvation. The second part is belief in Jesus, believing that Jesus died for your sins, that he rose from the dead, and that you can find forgiveness in him and him only. There's no other way to find forgiveness and eternal life but through Jesus Christ. Jesus said in John 14:6, he says, "I am the way, the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." It's only through Jesus, not through good works, not through prayer, not through any other idea that you think, well, this will make my way to God. It is only through Jesus. That is the claim of the Bible. It's not my idea. This is God. This is God's plan of salvation. It's through Jesus Christ. And there's a promise here for those who are thirsty and come to Jesus. And that's rivers of living water. Water is a metaphor for the Holy Spirit. In fact, John, who wrote this gospel, explains in verse 39, he says, "Now, this is," he said, "about the Spirit, who those who had believed in were to receive. For as yet the Spirit had not been given, because Jesus was not yet glorified." And there are many Old Testament prophecies about the coming of the Spirit like water. Isaiah 55 says this. And this is probably where the quote is based from. Let me find it. It says this: "Come, everyone who thirsts, come to the waters. He who has no money, come, buy and eat. Come, buy wine and milk without money and without price. Why do you spend your money on that which is not bread, and your labour for that which does not satisfy? Listen diligently to me and eat what is good and delight yourselves in rich food." We can spend and waste our lives trying to fill it with things that will not ultimately satisfy. Actually, we know that. We know that. We know that, you know, no matter how nice a cake tastes, just more of that cake doesn't satisfy us more. None of it ever truly satisfies us. And we can say that about anything in this life. Anything that's good and anything that we enjoy, actually, it doesn't truly satisfy us because we need more, we want more. And even sometimes when we have more, the feeling disappears anyway. You like cake, you eat one cake, you eat two cake, you eat three cake. In the end, you just feel dreadful and you want to be sick. because actually there's something that about these things that cannot ever truly satisfy. It's only found in Jesus. Ezekiel 47, another prophecy, speaks of this river of water that comes out from the temple. Ezekiel sees this vision, and there's this river of water that comes out of the temple, and as it goes away, it starts with a small trickle and then it becomes a mighty river, and then this river changes the landscapes around it. It changes salt water into fresh water. It brings new life. And this is a picture of God's spirit being poured out and then impacting the world around it. But we find in John 7, the passage we've been looking at, that there's an order to it. Verse 39, it says that the spirit hadn't yet been given. And it's interesting that what we see here is that we are invited to come to Jesus. That's who we come to. We come to Jesus. He says, come to me. Anyone who thirsts, come to me. So we come to Jesus. And it's as Jesus departs, as he's glorified, which is speaking about when Jesus rises from the dead and then ascends into heaven. As he leaves earth, he sends the Holy Spirit upon his believers. So we come to Jesus. Jesus sends the Spirit. The Spirit is poured out upon believers, but then there's a final movement, and it says, out of his heart will flow living waters. This is the believer. So out of our hearts, as the Holy Spirit comes, flows living waters, and that goes out to others. And that's amazing, because that means actually that God can use us to bless others, and the Holy Spirit can work through us to draw others into relationship with Jesus. As the Holy Spirit comes to fill the hearts of believers, and as it fills our heart and we come into contact with others, the Holy Spirit can overflow and impact their lives too. And this is key. The Holy Spirit was not just given to make our lives all nice and fuzzy. It was to impact our lives, and then our lives would impact the lives of others. That's how God works. He wants to work through human beings. He always has done it. You know, you think, well, you could have just bypassed human beings because we're fallible, we get things wrong. But actually, God's plan was always to work through human beings. And he wants to work through you and me. No matter, you know, what you think your skills and abilities are, what your insecurities are, what your weaknesses are, God wants to work with you and through you as you respond to him. And how much does this world, our families and our friends, need an experience of the transforming power of the Holy Spirit? And it says we're filled with the empowering presence of the Holy Spirit, that God will use us to be a blessing to the world around us. And there's a reality to actually anyone who responds to Jesus, you receive the Holy Spirit. That's what happens as you respond through faith and repentance. You receive the Holy Spirit. But the Bible does speak about being filled with the Spirit, and we need to be filled with the Spirit. This is a daily thing. I want to ask you, are you thirsty? Are you thirsty for more of God in your life? Are you thirsty for change in your life? Are you desperate for more of God's power in your life? It's very possible to live your Christian life and ignore or mistake your thirst for God and replace it with something else. Busyness, service, religious duty, good deeds. All of these are good in themselves in one sense. I mean, busyness, probably not so much. But what God wants is a heart. That's what he wants. He wants a heart. He wants us to be thirsty for him and his presence. Not thirsty for other things and not running around busy. Actually, it's about a relationship with him. Come to him and drink. Come and drink of the fountains of living waters, and they will bubble up to a spring that will lead to eternal life. And that river will flow through you and impact others. And as we do that, we will be a blessing to the worlds around us. If I'm full, It enables me to bless others and give. If I'm empty, I'm going to give from my lack. I wanted to finish with this, which a good friend who's a pastor in South Africa told me. And it was about being filled with the Spirit. And often we, I don't know about you, but maybe thought about this being filled with the Spirit like a glass or a cup. And we ask God to fill us. Now this could get messy. And why do we need to ask every day? Well, he said, actually, he likes to think of it like this, that if we're full and we go round day by day and we live our lives for him and we bump into others, it's like some of that Spirit and God's presence impacts upon their lives. And as we do that, then we ask God to fill us afresh with his presence and with his Spirit. And then we're ready to go again and to impact the world around us as we are full of the Spirit and we can serve and bless others through our lives. I want to encourage you with that. I want to give you an opportunity to respond in your heart. This is about a thirst for him, not having your life sorted. So why don't we pray, and then I'm going to hand over back to the band. I think if they want to go up now and get into their places, get ready, that would be really helpful. But let's pray. Let's respond in our hearts. Lord, we thank you for the invitation that you give. Lord, thank you. There are many times in Scripture that you invite us to come, and we've heard that a number of times this morning from that prophecy in Isaiah, to come and buy and eat. And Jesus said, come to me. And Lord, we want to come to you. We want to come as we are. We want to ask, Lord, would you fill us with your Spirit? Or for some of us, we desperately need your help and your power to bring about change in our lives. Lord, we long for you to change and transform us. We recognise that there are bits that we need you to change. And Lord, we come to you as we are and we ask you, Holy Spirit, would you come and fill us again? Come and empower and equip us. We pray. And Lord, we're also desperate to be used by you for your glory. We're desperate for you to come and fill our hearts so that as we encounter others, as we bump into them, that we can be a blessing to them, that your presence and your power and your Spirit, we can be a blessing to them. And we ask, Lord, that those streams of living water will flow from our hearts to the world around us. We pray for opportunities to share some of your love and your grace. But Lord, we want to look to you and we want to ask, Lord, would you fill us? That we recognise that it's about our relationship with you, not trying to do lots of things and be busy. Lord, we want to focus on our relationship with you, because from that everything else will flow. So we fix our eyes on you. We want to repent, Lord, if those times when we've not put you first and we've not had that thirst and hunger for you. Lord, we say we are hungry and thirsty for you. We want more of you in our lives. We want more of your presence. We want to devote our time and energy to encountering you and to being filled with your Spirit and with your presence. And we pray as we do that, Lord, would you cause us to be a great blessing to the world around? And would you fill us with your power and with your grace and with your mercy? Lord, we pray in the name of Jesus, for the glory of Jesus, we pray. Amen.